Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Oh, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to join with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our phone lines are open, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air tonight. That's toll-free, 888-677-9673, and we'd love to hear from you. Well, let's go ahead and get started here this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Do pray that you would bless, help us to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody listening this evening. And we do pray, Father, that there's somebody that needs to trust Christ as their Savior, that something we talk about tonight, that the Holy Spirit could use that to speak to their heart, that they might realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross, where he shed his blood to pay for our sins, and that he was buried and rose again the third day victorious over sin and death. And if they'll simply confess their sin and believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, paid for their sin with his blood, that they too can have the forgiveness of sin and the promise of a home in heaven. Lord, just pray that you bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm coming to you this evening, kind of warm day out there today here in Northeast Ohio, and starting to get a little of that summertime humidity and stuff like that working in. And I was looking at our thermometer when I came home from church today, and I told my wife, I said, look at that, the high temperature was 103. And she said, don't get too excited. The thermometer got moved around, and it was sitting in the sun during the middle of the afternoon. So I guess it was 103 with the sun beating down on it. But I tell you, when I opened up my car after church and after the nursing home service this afternoon, both times I think my car was well over 103 inside the car until it got a little cooled down in there. But, well, it's Northeast Ohio. Summertime's coming. And certainly this is the kind of things we look forward to in the wintertime. And then when they get here, we complain about it. So that's what you do in Northeast Ohio. You complain about the weather you got and long for the weather you don't have. Well, we can talk about a variety of things here tonight, but of course, most of all, we'd like to hear from you with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And those toll-free numbers, 888-677-9673, get you on the air here tonight. Of course, it's Marine Week here in Cleveland, started, I guess, tonight. I think the Marines arrive, so Semper Fi to the Marines that came in, and certainly if you're a Marine veteran out there, certainly thank you for your service there as well. And it's appropriate, it's this week coming up. Thursday is Flag Day, and so do celebrate and remember what people have done to purchase our freedoms. Of course, we celebrate that at Memorial Day, but Flag Day ought to be a reminder of that as well, and the freedom that we have here in this country. Well, talk about things happening in this country, and looking at what's happening in the world, caught my eye here. The Jerusalem Post had an article this past week entitled White House Talks with Anti-Israel Preacher Panned. I'll try and get that out three times in a row. They note how that there's an individual by the name of Sergey Dus, I believe is the name, that spoke to a group The quote here from Christian United for Israel Executive Director David Brog said that his views are very offensive to Jews and Bible-believing Christians. And I would agree with that, having read some of that. His view essentially is that the people calling themselves Jews in Israel are not really Jews. They just sort of made that up. They're really Gentiles that sort of took the term Israel or Jewish when they were living in Europe, and they embraced some of the Jewish faith And so there's really no connection between the Israel of today and the Israel of the Bible. And, you know, this gets back to the whole thing of the idea that people try to teach that Israel that the Jewish people have been replaced by the church in God's plans, and that all of the promises that were given to Abraham that were to be fulfilled among the Jewish people are now promises given solely to the church. God's washed his hands of Israel. And I find it interesting that at least four times in the Old Testament, God essentially said he'd bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. And we see that happening in history, and we certainly see that happen, that as the United States has blessed the nation of Israel and the Jewish people, God has blessed the U.S. And as the United States has turned their hand against Israel, have done things, moved against Israel, we have seen God's hand of judgment in various fashions here on this country. Other countries, of course, the same thing happened to them when Great Britain turned their back on Israel in the 20th century, when they had a chance to establish an Israeli homeland or a Jewish homeland, and they carved off three-quarters of it in a land for peace deal for the Arabs living in Palestine. They carved off what became known as the country of Jordan, and that land for peace deal didn't work, and they were getting ready to carve it up even more. They turned it over to the UN. The UN was going to partition the present-day Israel into some little parcels of land that were completely indefensible. And, of course, Britain went from being the undisputed world power at the end of the 1800s to becoming, they're still a good country, but they're not the world superpower that they were at the end of the 1800s. Of course, Germany, when Hitler killed the millions of Jews, Germany became a divided country for a number of years. And Russia, when they turned against the Jews with the pogroms in the 1890s, that was replaced. The czars were replaced, and the Orthodox Church was replaced with communism. And they, of course, put a lot of the things that they put on the Jews was put on all the Russian people, and Russia suffered for that greatly. And then, of course, the Soviet Union, which killed millions of Jews and others as well, Soviet Union is gone. It's not there. You look on a map, you won't see it today. Soviet Union is gone, and the United States is the nation in the world that has blessed the Jewish people and the nation of Israel more than any other country. And awful big coincidence, it's the only real superpower in the world today. It's certainly the greatest, the most powerful nation that the world has ever seen. And so thought about that, the thing of Flag Day coming up. It's interesting that the only land for peace deal that really is going to work is if all the Jews are gone from the Middle East there. That's the only one that's going to make the Arab Muslims happy. And, of course, if the Jews that are there aren't real Jews, why is it that the Arabs around Israel think they're Jews and want them gone? And, that's another area we get into. Got a number of things we could talk about more tonight, but I want to get to your calls. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, feel free to give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I believe we have Nancy calling in right now. And Nancy, are you there?
Yes, Pastor Al, thank you very much for taking my call.
Hi, good evening. Welcome.
And, thank you. And I did hear you on Friday. That was excellent. There's two questions.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's our Friday afternoon program live with Pastor Al that we have now. For listeners that aren't aware of that, we're on Friday afternoon at 1:30 to 2 o'clock. And, thanks for reminding me of that so I could plug myself there.
Yeah, that was great. One lady asked about the validity of women preachers, and the other one was asking about, the homosexual role, the church, helping out the homosexuals. But tonight I would like to continue the conversation you had last week with John from Euclid about the origin of the Antichrist, where he will come from. Would it be, could he possibly be a Muslim based on Revelation 20 and Revelation 24? just reading part of it. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which would sort of imply he might be a Muslim. But isn't it possible that since Europe is becoming, you know, very Muslimized, I don't know if that's the right word, that it could be a Muslim in Europe, and so both would be right. He'd be a European, but he'd be a European Muslim.
And I had actually thought of that. They call it the Islamification of Europe, where, you know, people sometimes use the term that Europe is becoming Eurabia. And, you know, one of the things, you know, like here in our country, we've had a lot of people come, you know, from south of the border, from Mexico and some of the Central and South American countries. They migrated into the United States illegally and otherwise. And one of the reasons for that is we need laborers and you know, certain labor-intensive forms of work and things of that nature. And for whatever reason, they've come that way. Well, similar thing has happened in Europe. Their labor from the south, though, comes from North Africa and from the Middle East. And so they've had a lot of Islamic influx that way, Muslims from North Africa and the Middle East. But the biggest thing is the Europeans, the ethnic Europeans' birth rate is extremely low, and it's below replacement levels. And if there were no Muslim or North Africans and Middle Easterners coming into Europe, Europe would be aging and dying. And because the ethnic European population is aging and dying and not having children, they're needing sources of labor, and they brought a lot of these people from south of Europe in, and part of it is portions of North Africa and the Middle East were, you know, European territories or colonies, rather, and so they've come up in there, and they have moved in, and then they have kids, and they have lots of kids. They have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 or more kids.
Well,
and
the average family, a lot of times, has 7 or 8 children.
Yeah.
But
well,
also,
it's just
I wasn't clear as to the theory that the Antichrist will, you know, come from Rome or be a European descent. Can you tell me the Bible verses, the location of Bible verses that imply that? I know it's something about iron, but I just don't see the real connection between Rome and Europe.
Let me look up something here and that. I'm thinking one in Daniel right up top of my head, and there's some other things if I can think of them here in a minute. But I was going to say one more thing on the Islamification of Europe.
Oh, yes.
Brussels is now being called the Muslim capital of Europe. And there's graffiti on buildings there that say, "Welcome to Belgistan." And even though Muslims are in the minority there, they are gaining strength. And there are places in Europe, Belgium, and Brussels is in Belgium there, but Belgium, there's places in other European countries where whole areas of the cities are completely Islamified, and they practice Sharia law, and a non-Muslim is simply not safe. You as a woman could not walk into some of these areas without being in a burqa or a veil or something. And that's what's happening in Europe right now. So, yes, absolutely the Islamic Antichrist and the idea of him coming out of Europe could both be correct. And, I think we just touched on that.
But, I mean, it does make sense.
Yeah, and but the one passage I'm looking at here in Daniel, it says in Daniel chapter 9, it says in, let's see, in verse number 26, it says, "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off." And that's when, after Jesus presented himself, he was cut off and crucified, but not for himself. "And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary." Well, who destroyed Rome? And who destroyed the temple? Or I'm sorry, not who destroyed Rome. Who destroyed the temple? It was the Romans. And they destroyed Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple on the Temple Mount. They demolished it. They burned it. And they turned all the stones over, just like Jesus said in Matthew 25 that they would do. And so the people that destroyed the city are the Romans. That's the Roman people, the Roman Empire. And it says the prince that shall come shall destroy, that shall come, or the people of the prince that shall come. So this is a prince that comes future. And then referring to this prince in verse 27, it says, and he, that's the prince of the people that is going to come and destroy the city and the sanctuary, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even to the consummation that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And so the he being the prince of the people that's going to destroy Jerusalem and the temple, that's the Roman Empire, the Roman government, the Romans that did that. And so that would make the one that signs the covenant with Israel, with the Jewish people, out of the Roman Empire. And he's the one who causes the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. I think that he's going to come at the opening of the second seal in Revelation chapter 6. I'm sorry, the first seal, the rider on the white horse. And when you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it makes it very clear that the Antichrist is the one who defiles the temple. I believe the overspreading of abominations and the causing the sacrifice and the oblation to cease is referred to.
Can you define oblations for me?
Those are the offerings and such that they make, sacrifices, the oblations, the things that they bring. Remember, they had a whole series of wave offerings and meal offerings and bringing different incense that they burned and things like that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's all caught up in that sort of thing. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we see talking about the before Christ returns. He says in chapter 2 and verse 3, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. And we're living in that time, the Laodicean church age, you know, which the if you look in Revelation chapter 4, talking about the church at Laodicea there, and there that's where we're at right now. And then the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's the Antichrist, or the beast, as he's referred to in the book of Revelation. And it says about him, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. And I like how this is worded, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, which means that he is going to claim none other than to be God. And I think what's going to happen is he's going to go in, he's going to set himself up as God, and when he does so, he's going to say, you don't need to make these sacrifices and oblations anymore because I am here. You can bring them directly to me now. And that's the abomination of desolation, or makes it desolate. Some people say that Daniel's abomination of desolations was fulfilled when Antiochus Epiphanes sacrificed a pig on the temple altar. And but, you know, that happened way before Paul wrote to Timothy, or wrote to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, saying that it would come. This day would come. So clearly Antiochus was not the Antichrist, and the temple is going to have to be rebuilt. I was mentioning something, I was at the nursing home today, in our nursing home ministry. I was talking about how they have the plans to rebuild the temple right now. You can go online and you can see some sites online that have diagrams of the temple, and even you know, three-dimensional simulations of what parts of the temple will look like, so you can kind of walk through them. And they have all the furnishings and everything together. They have money together. And if they could give the okay to rebuild the temple tonight, it'd probably be built and operating within just a few months. So that could happen at any time. And then the question becomes, where does the temple get situated on the Temple Mount? And some people say it has to be where the Dome of the Rock is, and you can make a good case for that. Some people believe that that's the ancient site of the Holy of Holies. But the other thing is that there's a big open space there, not covered by the Dome of the Rock and not covered by the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And if you're on the Mount of Olives and you could look through the eastern gate up onto the Temple Mount and look straight up through the eastern entrance to the Temple Mount, you would see this big open field. And I've heard some people make credible case that if you were in the old temple in Jesus' day, if all the doors were open and the veil was pulled aside, from the Ark of the Covenant, you could look straight out the door of the Holy of Holies through the holy place, through the outer court, and you would look out the eastern entrance to the Temple Mount, out the eastern gates of the city, and right up to the Mount of Olives. So that would be interesting. In Ezekiel, when he described the glory of the Lord departing from the temple, that's the path it took as it left from the temple and went out through the eastern gate up on the Mount of Olives before ascending up into heaven. That's also the path that Jesus took after his resurrection. He appeared to people for 40 days, and then after that, he left Jerusalem. He left through the eastern part of the city, and he headed up across the valley and up the Mount of Olives and ascended up into heaven. And the angels told the disciples there in Acts chapter 2 that he was going to come back the same way he left. And the Bible refers to him coming back, setting down on the Mount of Olives, and then returning back through the eastern gate into Jerusalem and ascending up on the Temple Mount. And the temple there.
Come back the same way
he left. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So, and it's interesting, I believe it's in Zechariah 14 where it talks about the mountain, Mount of Olives, having an earthquake and cracking in two when he comes back. And there is a fault line that they found that runs through the Mount of Olives that if it was triggered, it could split the mountain in half, just the way that it says so in the Bible. So kind of interesting. But it's exciting. I mean, we live in exciting times when you really think about it. I mean, we're seeing things take place that, you know, some of these people wrote about and others have speculated on. But we're seeing very real possibilities of some of these things happening. We had a missionary at church today, and he said that he can remember his grandmother talking about how when she was younger, she could never understand how everybody in the world could see the two witnesses in Revelation during the tribulation, how the whole world could see them. You have the television 24/7. And you have the internet and all of that and people anywhere in the world. It's just like listening to the radio program right now because the program goes out live on the radio. In fact, I remind people that if they have trouble getting us on the air, they can always tune in to WHKRadio.com and listen online. And there are people who listen to this station in other countries. And so presumably our program might be being listened to in, you know, China or Russia or Taiwan or Thailand or you know, it's morning over there or getting into the earlier later part of the day. Or they could be listening in Egypt or Iran, or they could be listening in Chad or Niger or England or France, you know, anywhere. You got an internet connection, you could be listening. And it's amazing to think that we can do that. And if I had a video feed, you could see what we're doing. But I don't know if I want a video feed. I don't want people to have to see what.
it's
enough to listen.
You're explaining all this stuff. Thank you so much.
But, I appreciate those questions. And that's a good topic. It's something that I think we need to pay a lot more attention to these days. But I appreciate that, Nancy. Do you have anything else real quick?
No, not now. You explained it very well. Thank you.
Okay.
So much.
Well, thank you so much for your call, and I appreciate that. Also, wanted to pass on a prayer request. Caller or listener Grover called in and asked for prayer for his sister, Grover's sister. I don't have her name. Grover's sister. There we go. And she's in Mississippi, and she has Parkinson's disease. So do pray for her and pray for her health. Pray for her family. And that can be a hard thing to live with, but at the same time, you know, God can still use her and in a powerful way. So do pray for Grover's sister and with Parkinson's. Also want to add another prayer request on here. A friend of ours at church, her name's Well, I probably shouldn't give her name over the radio, but unless I ask, but she's had some health problems of late, and do pray for her. God would strengthen her and encourage her. And, you know, it's hard when you're not feeling good. And it's hard when you have something that you'd like to get over and you just can't. But it can be difficult. And going into the nursing home, we're well aware of that. And one dear lady at the nursing home, she's got a variety of health problems, but she's always optimistic. She's always upbeat. She's always smiling. And she's always talking about how much she loves Jesus. And she's got something that encourages her and gives her hope. And she's looking forward, like I am, to that day when we'll be caught up into heaven and God's going to give us a new body with no aches, no pains, all of that. Well, we've got another half hour to go yet till midnight, so stick with us for the second half of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Oh, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we'll be on until midnight here tonight on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation if you've got a question about the Bible. Our phone lines are wide open. If you've got a question about current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, toll-free, 888-677-9673. And, of course, Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, of course, and where I'm the pastor. Certainly invite you to visit us there. We've got a Friday night Bible study where we do just what we're doing on the radio here, talk about your questions. And see, our philosophy is you don't have to check your brains at the door in order to believe the Bible. It's truth, and so it makes sense, and it can be defended. And so we talk about a variety of questions that people have on our Friday night Bible study. I want to mention that we have coming up, not this Friday, but next Friday, starting Friday the 22nd, through Sunday, the 24th. So it'll be the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. We're having a conference, an Islamic conference, engaging Muslims with the gospel. And we've got a four-hour seminar plan that will be starting on Friday night at 7 to 9 p.m., and that's Friday, June the 22nd, and then on Saturday, June the 23rd, at 3 in the afternoon until 5 in the afternoon. That'll be the second half of the seminar. If you can't make it to both or even stay for all of one of them, at least come for a little while. It'll be a PowerPoint presentation with Tom Wallace, fortressoffaith.org online. You can find him, fortressoffaith.org. And Tom Wallace will be presenting a four-hour PowerPoint special brought over the Friday and Saturday, 22nd and 23rd of June. And there'll be a workbook available if you'd like one of those. If you only make part of it, you can get the workbook and get much of the information that way. And also then on Sunday, the 24th, Tom Wallace will be teaching and preaching at the Bible Baptist Church in our morning service at 11 a.m. and our evening service at 6 p.m. And so we invite you to come for that and make a plan on that. If you want more information, give us a call at the church at 330-659-6561. That's 330-659-6561. Or visit us at bbc.maplenoel.us. That's BBC for Bible Baptist Church. bbc.maplenoel.us. And also, our program here will be talking about it again next week. And either on our Friday program or our Sunday night program, Tom Wallace is going to be with us. As it stands right now, most likely he'll be with us a week from tonight, I believe. But we'll hopefully have him on. You can also join us, like I said, on Fridays at 1:30 to 2 p.m. For Live with Pastor Al. And, of course, we're brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton as well. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road. That's North Royalton, Ohio. And Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, Saturday from noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can contact Frank's Antiques in North Royalton at 440-237-4393, and let Frank there at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton know that you heard about him right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Well, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Toll free, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air, and I believe we have a caller right now. We have John calling in from Euclid, Ohio tonight. And, John, are you there?
Oh, yeah. Hello, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
How you doing?
Welcome.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Yeah, Pastor Al, I was wondering, now, we know that it says that in the Bible, no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Right, 1 John 3:11.
No, I'm looking for...
First Corinthians 3:11. Just seeing if you're awake out there. But,
but, you know, it talks there about, you know, in that verse 12, and he tells about that.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning of the chapter, I mean, he's writing it to people. He says, "My brethren cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ."
Right.
And that begins the chapter. And he goes on to say, you know, he's telling that, he's really, to almost to summarize it, he's telling them, you know, you're saying, you know, one of you is saying, "I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos." He's saying, well, you're not being spiritual, you're being carnal there. You know, you're following.
Right, they're following the flesh rather than the Spirit of God.
Right, exactly. And, you know, and he goes on to say, you know, that you know, we're so, you know, sow seed, and, you know, one plants, another waters. God gives the increase.
Right, exactly, really. Exactly. Let's elaborate that real quick there. If you go to church, and let's say your church supports missionaries, which I know the church you go to does, and they support missionaries there at Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, and you have a missionary, and you put some money into the offering to help support the missionary, you've helped with that work that missionary has, and you've also helped when you pray for him. and you're watering in a sense, and he may be planting gospel seed, and you might be watering in a sense. You're all working together, but God gives the increase. You're absolutely right. It's through God that people get saved.
Right, and that's where, I mean, he goes on to say, that no other foundation, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Right.
And he speaks of, building on that foundation, and, that there's, we could build, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble.
Mm-hmm.
And one's going to abide the fire, and the day will, every man's work shall be made manifest, and the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And it talks there about, in the next, the next verse is about, someone receiving a reward for that work that abided, and others having their works burned up, but being saved, as by fire.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess, well, I was talking earlier with another program a little bit, and, they seem to be of the opinion that, it's just, there's, I'm sure you're familiar with the parable that the Lord told about, a man went to hire laborers into his vineyard, and some he hired at the beginning of the day.
Right, each one agreed to a penny, and some during the course of the day, and finally by the end of the day, the last one got a penny as well.
Yeah, they all got the same. Mm-hmm. And some of them, it says the ones who were hired first, they murmured against the good men of the house.
Mm-hmm.
They said, well, we have borne the burden and heat of the day, we should have gotten more. And, but the Lord told him, he said, friend, I did you no wrong. Didn't you agree with me for this? Is thine eye evil because because I am good, because he gave, the Lord
right,
did
right.
to everyone equally.
Each one of those people agreed with the owner of the vineyard. They made an agreement. I will work for this amount of money. And it just happened that he made the same agreement even with the people who only worked for about an hour. And it was his money, to do what he wanted with, and they freely made the agreement to work for that. So he gave them, what they agreed to work for.
Right. Now, that's clear enough, that parable, though, because I think he's talking there, I think what he's saying there, though, these are people, some were saved maybe early in life and some a little later.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not certain, that.
Oh, yeah, because look at the thief on the cross who turned to Jesus, as he was dying on the cross. He didn't have much time to serve the Lord. But then look at somebody like the Apostle Paul, the years that he had, or the Apostle John, the last of the disciples to die, last of the apostles to die, many years. Some people get saved later in life. They serve God for 10 years, and then they go to be with the Lord. Some people get saved early in life. They serve God for 80 years and go to be with the Lord. But everybody gets the same in heaven, eternal life. But getting back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we can see that he's talking there, the foundation is that salvation, and, that's what we need in order to get into heaven. But we build, on our salvation and, with the works that we do, the good works that we do, and some are done for the right reasons, some are done for the wrong reasons, and the works that are done for the right reasons, they abide the testing. We stand before the Lord, and he looks at what we did and our reasoning for doing it. Some of that will survive, and we'll get a reward for the good works, and the works that we did for selfish reasons, if you did it to get fame and fortune here on earth, that was your reward. That's it,
yeah,
no reward in heaven.
Yeah, but it's pretty clear, though, that, that there is a reward, for faith
and
service.
Oh, absolutely.
Some are gonna have more,
absolutely.
Than others, even in heaven.
The crowns, there's the crowns that people talk about, and they talk about the martyr's crown and the crown for faithful service. There are different crowns that we have. I think there's about five total. And these crowns, there's a soul winner's crown. They that live, that turn, people to righteousness, shine as stars, Daniel said, I think Daniel chapter 12. And, if you think about the soul winner's crown, if you're instrumental in helping somebody come to faith in Christ, then you've got the soul winner's crown. in that sense as a reward. And if you take that basic crown and just for the sake of argument, imagine putting a diamond in it for each additional person that you lead to the Lord, obviously some crowns would have more diamonds than others. You know, if you look at it from that standpoint.
And, you know, I'm trying to remember, I mean, I don't remember where I saw these verses, but you know, he talked about how, you know, God makes things differently, like the stars differ in their glory one to another.
Right, right.
And the stars do.
Yeah, and some people in heaven, obviously there are Christians, they get saved and they kind of coast through their Christian life. They don't do much. They get into heaven, but they really don't have any reward. Their works were done for the wrong reasons, selfish works. They're, in a sense, they don't withstand the testing, which the fire represents. And they suffer loss of reward. But see, eternal life is never a reward. That's the gift of salvation. That's like, you know, the man agreeing with each person for a penny for working in the vineyard. And the salvation is what we get. God agrees to give that to everyone that trusts Christ as their Savior. Whether they do works after that is another thing. And the more works that you do, you know, the greater your reward. And if you do the works for the right reason, you know, it'll stand the test. But if you do them for the wrong reason, you know, the wood, hay, and stubble burns in the fire, whereas the gold, silver, and precious stones are only, you know, purified and made more attractive, you know, in the fire. So.
Right, right. And,
Well, maybe we'll get it another time, but another caller calling,
okay,
I believe.
Yeah, thank
but
you
reward in heaven, yeah, we've got a reward. And,
doesn't it say in Ephesians it says we're, you know, saved unto good works?
Oh, exactly.
I mean, it says that, I mean, really clearly. That, I'm trying to remember that verse.
Let me turn over to Ephesians
You know, that God has created for us to do.
Yeah, Ephesians chapter 2.
Those who are saved to do.
Yeah, Ephesians chapter 2, it says, for by grace are you saved in verse 8. For by grace you saved through faith and not of yourselves, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So salvation is the gift of God. And then he says in verse 9, sentence continues, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then verse 10, he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So yeah, we're not saved by works. But when we do get saved, God ordained before before we were created that we would do good works when we got saved. So that's our purpose. He's got a purpose for us to do good works. And there's a variety of good works that we can do. It might be something simple. It might be something more complicated, more challenging. But God has things for each of us to do. But appreciate that call there, John.
It gets really clear, too, Pastor, that some people, there's, you know, talents are given to people.
Right.
To be
some people have more ability, natural ability than
some
others.
Some have less or a little more.
We
be rewarded for faithful service.
Exactly. That's the key, faithful service, doing what we can with what God's given to us. But I appreciate that. I'm going to have to get to the next caller here before we run out of time here tonight, John. But I appreciate that. It's a good thing that people need to be reminded of. We are created to do good works. And when we get saved, God has saved us and has planned in advance that we would do good works. He wants to reward us. He wants to give us a reward. But we're not going to parade around heaven bragging about our reward. You know, the 24 elders in Revelation chapter 4 pictured casting their crowns at Jesus' feet, saying he's the one that's worthy to receive glory and honor and praise. And the only thing we can do, the only good works we can do is through him. And so really he deserves the reward, not us. So it's a great thing to think about, and a motivation. It's a great motivation. But appreciate that call. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And I believe we have Christine in Cleveland calling in. Christine, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, welcome.
Hi. I was wondering, I was listening, I was listening to the Christian radio today.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering if you heard anything about this. There is a so-called church over in Toronto, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's obviously not a Christian church. And the name of the church is 666.
Uh-huh.
And the young people in this place, the so-called church, they're getting tattooed on their body with 666.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents think it's wonderful that their kids are doing this. I thought of something about 20 years ago. I was going to a Chinese takeout.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was going toward it, a man came walking out with two women on either side of him, and he had on his T-shirt 666.
Right.
I just wondered if you heard anything about this, because it's really, the Lord already warned us
mm-hmm.
what to expect and everything, but it's, and we shouldn't really be surprised at this, but obviously these people are really deceived, and it seems to me like they're maybe taking the mark of the beast before the mark of the beast even,
Right, right. And a lot of times people are concerned about that. I haven't heard of this particular one in Toronto, but I have heard of other things where people have done that. And, and what they're symbolizing sometimes, not every time, but sometimes they're symbolizing a rejection of God. And sometimes kids get caught up in that. They go through rebellious phases and things of that nature. But and sometimes they just do it because they think they're cool. It's like all the college kids running around with Che Guevara T-shirts on. And Che Guevara is a mass murderer who, if they had to run into them, he'd have killed them. And, in fact, Che Guevara later on was killed because the enemies that he – well, that's a whole other story. But people wear these things because it's cool. And so that happens sometimes. And that's a part of it there as well. But I think the bigger thing that's going on with that is a part on the devil of desensitizing people to this 666 business, kind of making a mockery of it and desensitizing people, preparing them, because the real mark of the beast won't occur until the midpoint of the tribulation. And, I have cousins that have a telephone number. Their telephone number is 666. In fact, a good friend of mine, Pastor McKenna of Crusade Baptist Church in Copley, Ohio, their phone number is 666. So, that's the telephone exchange where they live. Now, they haven't received the mark of the beast in order to get telephone service, because that just happens to be the exchange. But it's very clear that in Revelation chapter 13, that when the mark of the beast is instituted, it will be a thing to swear allegiance to the beast, to the Antichrist. And chapter 14 makes it very clear that those that receive it are actually going to worship the Antichrist or the beast as God.
Right.
We were talking about that earlier with a previous caller about how he'll enter in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He'll enter into the rebuilt temple and declare himself to be God.
Mm-hmm.
And he will demand worship as God. I believe this will happen at the midpoint of the tribulation. And Revelation 14 and verse number 9 says, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone, the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." Of course, we know from chapter number 13 and there in verse 18, the number of the beast is 666, which is 666. And it'll be something that's identifiable. People won't get tricked into it. But groups like what you were talking about in Toronto and things like that, they're desensitizing people. They make a mockery of this. And so that when the day comes that the devil institutes this, they'll be primed for it. But it's very clear that you don't get it by accident. You're making a choice to worship him as God. And as an aside, the Seventh-day Adventist error, they say that the third angel's message has to do with worshiping on Sunday. And in our church, we had services today. It's Sunday. And I don't recall putting the mark of the beast on anybody, tattooing anybody that came into our services. And we also have services on other days, and I happen to know some Seventh-day Adventists that actually have services that carry over onto the first day of the week
which is supposedly going to give you the mark of the Antichrist, because, or the mark of the beast, because according to the Bible, the next day starts at sunset. So actually at sunset this evening, the second day of the week started. So if you have a Seventh-day Advent church that has a service on Saturday night and the sun goes down, guess what? They're meeting on the first day of the week. And according to their beliefs, they just received the mark of the beast. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you have to swear allegiance to the Antichrist, worship him as God, and you'll receive a distinct mark on the back of your right hand or on your forehead. And then that's about it for that, I guess. So hopefully that helps a little.
No, I understood. Like, I understand what the Word of God says, but the thing is that I guess I was wondering if you knew, obviously, some of these people.
I'm not personally too familiar with that particular movement, but it's like I said, I believe it's an overall part of the devil's plan to desensitize people to it.
Yeah, get them ready to take
There's a lot of things out there that help get people ready for it. There's various plans, even in the Senate version of the Obamacare bill, there's a plan that the Secretary of Health and Human Services will have to come up with a plan for putting a biometric chip inside of the hand or some part of the body of each and every American. So I appreciate that. Got one more caller to squeeze in here before we close here tonight, so we're just about out of time. But invite you to give us a call back, talk about this some more sometime, too, as well, if you could. So, but appreciate that caller tonight, that call about the mark of the beast. And we're going to go to, I think, probably our last caller tonight, Jerry, in somewhere here in Ohio. So, Jerry, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hi, welcome.
I just have a question.
Yes,
sir. It's true that God knows every situation in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
He has angels that watches over us.
Right.
In any situation. That's true, right?
Right. Yeah, the Bible talks about angels. In fact, in, let's see here, Hebrews chapter 1, and talking about angels, he says in the last verse of the chapter 1, verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So,
I'm kind of stuck in a situation, and I know God knows the situation, what it is, and I know He has angels watching over us.
Right. Well, hey, we're out of time. The music's coming up there. Sorry to cut you off there. But, angels watching over us, ministering spirits, that's where we get the idea of guardian angels. The Bible also warns of familiar spirits. That's where we get the idea of their fallen angels, unholy angels, that are trying to trip us up, whereas the holy angels are trying to guide us in the right directions. But that's very good point there, and appreciate that call tonight. And again, want to invite you to tune in next week, and also not just Sunday night at 11 o'clock, but also Friday afternoon, 1:30 to 2 p.m., you can join us for Live with Pastor Al as well. We're out of time right now. Hope you have a great week, and get your flag out for Flag Day, and join us next week. Good night. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.